Good morning, such as it is, since we're taping kind of early this time around. This is the fifth episode of the Strong Style Story Podcast. I am your host, Jeffrey Wessel. With me, once again, co-host Chris DeMassino.
Hey guys, good morning. How's everything and stuff? Well, I can't really get that response since, you know, we're recording this, but either way, I hope your morning has been going well.
Yeah, we are recording earlier than usual because we were supposed to have our usual analyst, third chair, Steve Cash, joining us live from beautiful sunny Las Vegas, but the Wi-Fi at Sam's Town or whatever hotel he was staying at apparently is hot garbage, so he apparently will not be joining us this time. Or if he is, he may come in later during this recording. But so it's just me and Chris this time for the first time since the premiere episode.
Yeah, it definitely unfortunate that Steve can't make it with, especially given what shows he did end up seeing. But we'll hopefully get some insight from him either sometime later if he's able to get in today, or worst comes to worst at episode 6. So.
Yeah, that would have been a shame because I'm sure it's a different point of view between watching it on TV and actually being live at the pay per view, because we do have some we are going to be talking about that though. First, a lot of shows have happened since we last spoke, so we have a lot to get to. First and foremost, we were of course correct on the fact that Kenny Omega's ascension has happened. He is the new IWGP Intercontinental Champion, taking over from Shinsuke Nakamura, beating Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes.
And that was a good match, I gotta say. I had to say that the interference aspect from the Bullet Club and the Young Bucks and Cody Hall really kind of got on me. I think that took away from the match a little bit. But for some reason, you know, at the same time, I didn't mind the interference from Los Ingobernables in the IWGP Junior Heavyweight match that same night. That this, of course, being from the New Beginning in Niigata results.
It's interesting in a way as to how frequent interferences have started to become ever since the Bullet Club kind of did come into the picture, as it is, and I feel ghetto style of booking itself, it's kind of lending itself to stuff that he's learned from working American audiences over the years, as well as kind of looking at some of the product here in North America and going, okay, every so often this would be thing to do. With me specifically, I thought the junior heavyweight title interference was fine with Los Ingobernables because they are despicable enough to pull something like that off or try to do something like it. And with the Intercontinental match, I thought it was really interesting initially how Omega waved them off only to have the Bucks under the ring and do that with. I think it actually got the point across that, yeah, Kenny Omega is still very much a heel in every aspect of the word, and using the initial smokescreen only to have the Bucks show up and then try to ruin everything was interesting. And if anything, got us a nice little spot with Elgin carrying the both of them. Like,
yeah, that was nice. Like, I will
admit, I thought that was hilarious. It's just like, he's just walking away with them. Nothing's happening.
Yeah, it's a good I will say this, for all the talk of the booking, they have booked Michael Elgin extremely well so far in New Japan, and of course now he is a full-time member of the roster too.
I'm happy with it because to me, for a couple of years, I was not very high on Elgin at all with his Ring of Honor work. It felt just like that guy that was going through a bunch of different power moves, you know, whatever it was, no psychology whatsoever, but he seems to have really found his calling after G1 and after competing in it, and he's just, I don't know, I think he's hitting the right marks now compared to years ago.
Yeah, he really is, and it's It's great that both Elgin and Omega are as big as they are right now, in New Japan and elsewhere. But we did kind of jump ahead of ourselves because we started talking about the New Beginning in Niigata before we went to the New Beginning in Osaka,
which was the first one out of the two. So
that was the first one. So looking back on those, and I'm just concentrating on the title matches in these because really these were kind of two shows. This is one show kind of stretched out, really. So I mean, a lot of the undercard matches we don't really weren't too consequential, to be honest. But although it was nice to see Taguchi actually winning with Omai and Garankel over Gato.
Yeah.
At the Osaka show, that was interesting. I wonder if they actually are trying to make Taguchi a bit more serious-ish.
I feel like they do need to do that now, at the very least, because that could be a future opponent for Kushida in a couple of months, even if it's just an extra defense to pad his stats.
Yeah, we know he can work comedy, but he can work, you know, an actual serious match too.
Yeah, we've seen it for quite some time.
But how many matches has it been where he's just, you know, again, used his ass and nothing but?
Well, no, you've got a point there.
But
I mean, highlights wise, obviously, you know, the undercard was the undercard. You had, you know, your fair share of six man and tag matches, but talk about surprises, though, to begin with Osaka. The Osaka portion, at the very least, was, you know, Bullet Club of Fale, Tonga, and Takahashi actually beating the Briscoes and Yano for the Never Open Way titles.
Yeah, but remember last show we kvetched because they were running the exact same match the next day.
Yep.
As a non-title match, well, that became a title match.
Yep, we kind of called that, actually, surprisingly enough.
So it's flopped again, and then, you know, the next week, and we're jumping ahead here too, but then the Bullet Club Elite beats Yano and the Briscoes. So, yeah, these are definitely comedy titles at this point.
Or at the very least, I feel like with that, initially they were thinking of probably just doing the hot potato wing thing until they decided on the permanent team to put it on. And I think Gedo and just the New Japan officials realized just how much money they have on this concept of Omega in the box running roughshod on everybody, to where
that can get annoying real quick, though.
And I understand that, but to me, putting that specific trio's title on them is going to bring a couple of eyeballs to it, and I think it's going to make the team that does beat them down the road, whoever that is, just all that much more over for it. So I'm fine with the decision.
But I mean, the Bucks are not unbeatable, though. It's just they just tend to book them
I agree. But I think altogether, given their status and the things that they've done in New Japan between all three of them so far, it does make for a nice little team combination, and it can certainly, if it's set up properly, you know, put over the next trio that does win the belts. So,
you're right. And yeah, I mean, I'm just hoping that maybe this is, you know,
the permanent stay rather than the hot potato.
Yeah, I mean, if it becomes a hot potato, then yeah, they're comedy titles, and there's just no other way around that. So, meanwhile, in the IWGP Junior belts, those went from the Bucks to Ricochet and Matt Sydal, which is interesting because I'm seriously wondering how Ricochet's Lucha Underground schedule is going to affect his ability to, you know, defend these titles.
It is very interesting in that regard. To me specifically, I feel that at least with Lucha Underground, they may have most of the second season already filmed.
I think they've already filmed Ultima Lucha.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah, but from what I hear, though, recording for the third season may start commencing as early as June when season two is still being broadcast.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, I mean, it could be that they do let him keep it up until that time, basically, and then you see him dropping it, so that way Ricochet can just dedicate himself to all the season three tapings in this case. Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean we're gonna. Yeah, I mean it's gonna be interesting. But here's what I wonder: are the Bucks going to be challenging for the IWGP Junior belts now? Because I'm hearing stories that they may be, like Omega, be moving the Bucks up to the heavyweight division, to give those tag titles a bit of a boost
Interesting.
too. I have heard this, so. Yeah,
That's
who can say? And at some point, and I do say at some point, they're not as young as you think, but they are young enough to where they could still go for a while. But the style that the Jacksons use, they can't do it forever. So at some point, they're going to have to adapt that way when, because it's just inevitable that at some point they're going to get the type of injuries to where.
Yeah.
They can't do flips and all that constantly anymore. You know what I'm saying? They are gonna hit that point at some point. It's not gonna be tomorrow. It's not gonna be probably won't be next week, but I can say within 5 years, yeah, they're gonna start their bodies will start declining. It's just inevitable. It's not a criticism, it's just inevitability.
Yeah, that's definitely, it's interesting to say the least, just how this is all kind of shaping up to be for the Bucks, and especially with all the comings and goings at this point in time, which I know we're gonna get later too, given some fairly big news. But the other really kind of big thing of notice at this point for this card was Okada doing his first retention against Goto. Which we figured it was coming,
Well,
but
it's his third retention, actually.
oh yeah, right. That's my bad.
Yeah, it's his third retention, but his first since Wrestle Kingdom. Well, before that, yeah, Shibata, of course, retained over Ishii for the Never Open Weight belt, so that's staying with Shibata, at least for the time being. Well, I wonder who's going to challenge him next.
Yeah, we'll see what
But
happens when it
we
does.
can talk about that because there is the New Japan Cup coming up, which we're gonna get to towards the end of this show. Yeah, Okada did the job against Goto. Goto in that Aramusha paint though, I didn't mind that so much, but it didn't seem like he was in a character of any kind because he still worked of Goto and Okada. While they do have good matches, they kind of work that same match. Again,
Goto
I
was
did.
just trying very hard.
He was, and it looked like he had a little bit of the rub of it for a while. But yeah, Okada, of course, there was a lot. I saw some comments online that Okada maybe needlessly humiliated Goto by doing the triple Rainmaker, because that's something he's usually reserved for, like. Nakamura, Styles, or Tanahashi.
But the thing is, from the build-up and Goto blindsiding Okada however many times, it's just kind of a nice little, just exclamation point on, don't mess with me, kind of like that anymore.
Yeah,
Just an emphatic
I think so
statement.
too. That was kind of like a no F you, to say that. But I did see. Kind of seemed to put Goto in a bit of a tailspin, for reasons which half of which we'll get into. But if you recall, well, I know actually no, we are jumping ahead again. But yeah, it looks like there's definitely some tension between Goto and Shibata now.
Which could be definitely interesting if they do decide to play out on that, but that's further ahead of time here. I mean, obviously that's Osaka covered, but then we have some stuff in Niigata that happened as well,
Yeah,
which
Niigata, the belts went back to the never open weight belts went back to Yano and the Briscoes, as we said. Kushida retained against Bushi. I thought that was the best match of the night, to be honest. Kushida and Bushi.
To me, I would still argue it's Omega and Tanahashi, but Kushida and Bushi were close. They were right up there. And I like the GBH Bullet Club matchup as well, too. Like, the final three matches in the card actually nailed it pretty well for me.
Yeah, I thought so too. And, you know, that was not quite the last hurrah of Guns and Gallows, but they are now gone, of course. They did finally cop to signing to NXT, so they are on the way out. Although it wasn't Gallows, of course, he was on the main roster at one point,
Yes,
so he may go back. Who knows?
to be fair, I think if he does come in initially, it'll be with Anderson, and it'll be probably aligning themselves with Balor, Devitt in some way initially, and then the main roster call up. But yeah, he was part of the main roster as Festus initially, and then he did the Luke Gallows thing with CM Punk and the Straight Edge Society. So
Right. So yeah, so he's that definitely is not his first rodeo.
He's familiar with the style. He's gonna be like, I think he's gonna be a big help for Anderson, especially getting adapted to it.
Yeah. And yeah, of course, yeah, we also know that, you know, side note, Shinsuke Nakamura finally got officially unveiled. Though we already knew he was there. I mean, his match was already booked before his official unveiling, so
But I mean, I'm excited after seeing the package for it. I'm fairly excited, and I think the taping that will have him do the official announcement for his match against Sammy, it's in another 2 weeks, I believe. So
okay.
exciting times.
It is, but exciting times for another podcast of sorts. So,
Basically. So we'll let them handle it.
yeah, it's their call now. So,
Yeah.
and yeah, we've already spoken kind of at length about Omega and Tanahashi. It's good, as we've said. If anyone can come back from two major losses, it's gonna be Tanahashi.
And I think with the way that they booked the match too, they protected Tana in a certain way because they made a star out of Omega, but they didn't dim Tana's star power, which is definitely going to be needed while they're going through this new transition of sorts too. More than you'd think he would have been needed, like after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we will see just how much. There is one thing that I don't know if anybody's picked up on what Omega's been doing, since he became, you know, the Elite. Have you noticed how he's been doing other people's finishers now?
Yeah,
He
yes, I
he's
have.
doing Beaumoyer. He's doing Styles Clash. Someone is saying that, yeah, I took these guys out and I can do better than them.
I feel it's just Tana paying homage in a certain way because he
I know
does,
Omega.
like, in terms of it, I felt that it was part of the story too, in which he, Nakamura can do the Beaumoyer to Omega, so, he did it for. It's interesting to me, and I know that Tana apparently likes AJ a lot altogether. So I mean, a little homage here and there. It's nothing too terrible.
Yeah.
It's Tana being Tana, which is fine.
No, I was talking about Omega doing Styles Clash and
Oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, because I know.
yeah, I was like, wait a
No,
minute.
no. To Omega, I think it's just the heel shtick, if you will.
Well, yeah, and I said that. I think that, you know, it's, you know, him kind of saying that, yeah, I'm better, you know, I'm better than these guys so much, I'm going to steal their finish, you know, I'm going to steal their finishes again. So, yeah. But yeah, it is interesting. I think with now that Elgin is a full-time roster member of New Japan, I think maybe Tana may be transitioning towards the tag team titles, oddly enough, because he and Tanahashi, against the odds, have created kind of a really popular and successful team so far. So we'll see about that coming up. Now, whether or not that's going to be against GBH or whomever dethrones GBH coming up, we'll soon see.
Definitely.
So that was and 1 week began with the new beginning, and it ended with the two Honor Rising shows. So where do we even begin with these? I mean, there were some interesting matches though. on these shows.
I thought the concept of teaming Castle and Taguchi together to open up Night One was kind of funny, actually.
That was inspired. I will say that. That was pretty inspired. Delirious and Gato, you couldn't pay me to watch that one, unfortunately. So, moving on.
I mean, Kushida Kazarian, nice little bit here and there. You had the Tana Elgin, super foreign best friends thing, along with
Yeah,
Moose
and
and Homna getting in there.
Moose got way over.
I
He got way over.
I like Moose a lot.
Yeah, and he and Kushida, that was on night two. He and Kushida made a great team, I thought.
Again, I think we'll later on talk about this probably when we cover 14th anniversary stuff, but I
Well,
just feel,
we're going to be here shortly, so.
exactly. So I'll save it for then. Elite doing things by beating up on Red Dragon and Shibata, fair enough.
Yeah, those are what they are. The Briscoes get taken out by excuse me, the Briscoes take out Guns and Gallows, Froggy, via Froggy Bow for Mark. Now this next match, I think there was a lot more to this next match than many people may think. Naito and Jay Lethal against Okada and Yoshihashi. And I say this because, first of all, this was the first time since Naito went in Gobernables that Naito and Okada encountered each other.
Yeah, that's
And if you look ahead to upcoming matches in the perhaps in the New Japan Cup, you can see that in Gobernables are in the first round, both Naito and Evil are taking on members of Chaos.
I think it's definitely something that they could build on, especially if they're looking at Naito as one of the potential winners for the New Japan Cup at
Yeah,
that.
and we'll get to that in due course as well, but yeah, I really think that there's a lot more meaning to that match than perhaps maybe obvious, even though Naito and Okada really didn't interact a whole lot though
No, not really.
in the
Although
match.
I thought the nice little ending there after Lethal got the pin on Yoshihashi, shock and awe right there for anybody.
Yeah, right.
The fact that Naito was like fist bumping guys, putting his hat on Lethal, and then going through the Book of Truth was actually kind of cool.
Yeah, they did, and that was, confirmed that the next night, which we'll talk about. Yeah, the next night with that gif of Honma getting blasted by Bushimist and flailing like Kermit the Frog is, and of course
Something
you
that
and of course you know they had the mute they had the sound muted because of the because they don't have the rights to Jay
use.
Lethal's music for some reason, which the New Japan World really needs to get their stuff together
I
on the whole
do.
music thing. This is irritating.
It
They don't
is.
have the rights to half the roster, really? Okay.
It's a little bit on how copyright laws tend to work, and I figure that's their main hurdle, whatever it is with foreign music, at least. But
Yeah,
it'd be
it's.
nice to see them, at least given that they have the partnership with Ring of Honor. It'd be nice to see them at the very least kind of chunk up a little bit and at least pay the amounts during these particular shows, because it does detract a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, losing the sound is yeah, it's pretty weak, I gotta say. It's
Or
pretty.
at the very least come up with like stuff playing out like on the actual Tron at the event itself for these guys, even if it's like cheap in production house music.
Well, they
That's
have
still
done
good.
they do like on the bigger shows, they will dub
You
in like fake music
I understand
for the
that.
New Japan broadcasts at least. Usually on the ones where they have commentary, because having commentary and then not having commentary is kind of disorienting.
Yep, just a little bit. But I mean, that was night one. And the biggest thing about night one, obviously, that we haven't touched on, that is going
Yeah,
to be.
which we're about to at length, because this is some of the absolute worst booking I have seen in a long time. And I could see why it might have been done to get a cheap pop for Ring of Honor at Korakuen for those 2 nights, but I really think, and it's nothing against the wrestler himself, because I do like him, and he does have a worrying style that we think he's gonna possibly have major brain damage coming along if he doesn't already. But I really think that the fact that they put the Ring of Honor television title onto Tomohiro Ishii was a gigantic mistake.
I feel a lot of it is the fact that it ruined brought a lot of the strong booking that they had going for Roderick and Bobby Fish leading
And
into the
that
14th anniversary.
that's exactly it too. It completely, and we are going to dovetail this into the 14th anniversary conversation, because how can we not at this point? Because one led, what the one af directly affected the other. But again, nothing against Tomohiro Ishii. I'm sure he'll be a fine TV champion. I just think that they spent the 2 months since Final Battle building the storyline between Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, because with the storyline being that Fish had actually tapped out Strong, but I think the referee was knocked out or something, but he didn't see it, so Strong ended up retaining, and Fish kept just challenging and needling and harassing Strong until we got this match. Well, come the first night of Honor Rising at Korakuen, and Ishii beat Strong. I figure, okay, well, okay, no problem. Somehow Strong will get it back on night two, because they can't be going into a pay-per-view with a change like this. Nope. No bookings changed.
Pretty much.
And yeah, and so yo, okay, so now Tomohiro Ishii is gonna be the TV champion going into the 14th anniversary. Oh, okay, cool. Well, Ishii against Goto, which was already booked. Okay, so now that becomes a TV title match. Okay, great, because Goto needs something to do. He needs something to kind of boost him after the, after what happened, the storyline he just ran, where he, failed for the eighth time to get the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, and he's pissing off, his great partner, Katsuyori Shibata, too. So, hey, great. No, Tomohiro Ishii versus Roderick Strong versus
Bobby
Bobby Fish
Fish.
in a three-way on a show that already had a three-way match for a title. So now we have two three-way matches for a title.
It got very confusing in some of what they did, and unfortunately, it's one thing that kept rolling into another. It's like a snowball effect. It's
Yeah. So okay. So now Goto defends again. So now Goto is against Dalton Castle. Okay, great. There's a 50-50 booking if ever there was one. Because on the one hand, yeah, Goto's a great talent and he's on a losing streak, but Dalton Castle is over as hell, but has yet to win a big match.
Yep.
And yeah. Oh, flip a coin. And add insult to that injury, yeah, they booked, and we were, it's some spoilers for the TV tapings that happened last night. They booked Goto to be to face Jay Lethal for the title, but did you see the graphic that I that was on Ring of Honor's website that I posted to the blog?
On the latest post of it, because
No,
I'm.
it was from well, it was from Thursday.
Oh, okay, yeah, I do see it.
Yeah, the graphic with Jay Lethal against Hirooki Goto, and they got Goto's name wrong. Yeah.
ROH has
In
been.
addition to saying that Ishii is the current neverweight openweight champion, which he hasn't been since Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, ROH just kind of been. Let's just not.
There were some. I'm going to talk about it. That's ridiculous. Because number one, I've got my entire life having my name mangled. So I stick up for people when they, when they get their names destroyed. I stick up for people.
That's
and number
enough.
Two. What do they do the Yakuza have like some high quality dope that we're unaware of? Because I think Ring of Honor came back with a truckload of this, given considering the booking and everything else surrounding that match. I don't know. This is ponderous.
It's definitely one odd decision after the other. And while we did cover this a little bit earlier, obviously 9-2 of Honor Rising was when we saw the Elite Bullet Club portion there beat the Briscoes and Yano for the never open weight 6-man tag titles, which, you know, that's a thing now. They're there. Leto did his whole retention against Hamna, which you mentioned as well.
Yeah.
We kind of
that ship's going to live on forever. That scene's going to live on forever. But getting back to this, when Hiroshi Tanahashi is tweeting about this screw up, it doesn't look good.
No, not at all.
Ring of Honor, and and the result that happened at the 14th anniversary show with Ishii did retain against Strong and Fish, pinning Strong after the the vertical drop brainbuster. What was the point of the Fish and Strong story then? That's 2 months worth of storyline wasted.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because I feel a lot of it, a lot of the 14th anniversary booking felt like it was Ghetto holding something over Delirious's head and saying, hey, my guys are all going over tonight. Kushida can lose as long as he's not getting pinned. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that is exactly what, although, you know, don't forget, the Young Bucks are actually Ring of Honor employees.
Well, this is true. This is true, and that's probably why.
But, yeah, I don't know. I had to say that I did watch the 14th anniversary show. I wasn't live, of course, like Steve was, and of course Steve couldn't be here today. I say overall, I had to get this like a 70%, but that's a C. That's like a low C. So, it really picked up after the first couple of matches. I'll give it that. But yeah, the TV title situation by keeping it on Ishii completely. And if you look at the TV taping spoilers, there was nothing came of Fish versus Strong because they went right back to Red Dragon against Okada and Gato.
Mm-hmm.
Which you can read into that what you want. But and then, you know, Roderick Strong in a four corner survival match that, you know, didn't seem to have any long term effects. BJ Whitmer and Adam Page, of course, was hot garbage.
And the ending of the match didn't help one bit.
Yeah, and I can't, because I don't care one bit about BJ Whitmer at all, and I don't know why they take up significant TV time for this angle against Steve Corino. That okay, so can Corino wrestle or not?
Because exactly, it's like it's taken way too long, and I feel with Adam Page, he's obviously the standout out of that entire group, but this the kind of booking doesn't help him much at all. So
yeah. Goto and Castle, yeah, it was a good match, but again, I don't like that Castle had to
take the fall. Yeah,
take the fall here.
It sucked because Castle walking into that match with six boys instead of two was like the
That
greatest
was rough.
thing. The greatest thing.
And you notice at the Honor Rising shows, you did notice who the boys were at Honor Rising, right?
I did not notice that, no.
It was the two young lions, Kanemitsu and Kawato.
Oh, wow. Huh.
You didn't catch that.
No, I did not. No.
Yeah,
Good
no,
call.
it was not Brent and Brandon. It wasn't the Tate brothers. It was Kawato and Kanemitsu.
Well, that's really cool that they pull that off. Dang.
Yeah, and they
Good catch.
redid the spot with Liger bringing the boys in from the New Japan from the Toronto tapings last year during the Global Wars.
Liger just has a way with the boys, I guess.
He does. Shelley against Christopher Daniels. It's nice that the Motor City Machine Guns are back together, even if it means that on these shows we weren't going to get a reunion of Time Splitters.
Yeah.
Because they just kind of went away. Because Shelley and I know why too, but I'm sworn to secrecy. But let's just say I know why Alex Shelley has been in Ring of Honor rather than New Japan lately. Yeah, it was nice that Shelley, got to reunite with one team. Oh, how cool would that have been? A six man with Shelley, Sabin, and Kushida.
That would have been pretty nice.
The Motor City Time Splitters or something.
Yep.
You know maybe down the road. Tanahashi pinning Mark Briscoe with High Fly Flow in that tag match. Elgin and Tanahashi work so well together.
They do. It's
It's
really
amazing.
cool to see.
And it's great consider when you consider that, Elgin was kind of a last second replacement for Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
Because that's where they were heading with that.
And it's just worked out considerably.
It's worked out, I think, far beyond what anybody thought it would be. Okada beats Moose. I thought it was a great match. I think Moose works a lot better than anybody gives him credit for.
And I feel like out of the particular losses that the Ring of Honor talent had to eat up, at the very least, Moose is eating a loss to the current, IWGP Heavyweight Champion, which
Yeah, I
he's the
mean there was
current
no way
leader.
there was no way that Okada was going to lose that one
Yeah.
because he's the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
But yeah.
But
He hung in there, which was a big thing, so that was nice.
it was the never open weight six man match. Did you see that?
Which one?
The six man the Elite against Kushida, ACH, and
Yeah.
Matt Sydal.
It was nuts. Sydal
That
sold off. No,
German, oh my God.
it's a credit to Sydal in general because he sold that offense like a champ from those guys, and the comeback was just as good. Like, to me, he was the MVP of that match, personally.
Yeah, he was obviously his time spent in Dragon Gate really worked out because, good grief, that was yeah that I think a lot of people, including myself, for a few minutes were legit concerned that Seidel might not be getting up from
Just
that.
like we're just like, are you dead? Please tell me you're okay,
Yeah,
please.
please. And then, of
Yeah.
course, they repeat something similar the next night with this ang injury angle with Truth Martini, where they stretcher, Donovan Dijak injures him to the point where they, stretcher him out on the timekeeper's table,
Yeah.
which it turns out was an angle, but.
Yeah. To me, I think the only one of the biggest things is that looking at just War Machine versus All Night Express on its own, decent little match, couple of good little spots there, but the problem was putting it right after the six man was
The
a
crowd
bad
was
idea. The crowd was
dead.
just dead.
The crowd was so dead, and well, of course, I don't think that the All Night Express is really that over either, because if you remember from Final Battle, they got booed out of the building when they went over both the Briscoes and the Young Bucks in that number one contender three
Yeah.
way.
I do remember it, but I think at the same time, had they put this match a little bit earlier, like say on the spot where Whitmer and Page ended up going into, just It might
Or
have
even in the
done him.
middle, or even in the middle of the show.
Yeah, it would have done him a few more favors in that case.
Maybe, they didn't even realize, nothing comes after Omega and the Bucks because that's just gonna kill the heat right there. Although the crowd did come back for it
Triple threat.
for the triple threat. I thought it was great, how it ended. I love that double lethal injection that Lethal did on Cole and O'Reilly, but then I guess that's the end of that angle too. So two existing angles die on the vine of a title fight, of a title three-way.
Yeah, it's interesting, and to
Because
me.
if you look ahead to the TV taping results, neither of these feuds got referenced. Not Cole and O'Reilly, and not Fish and Strong, and it just what was the point?
Yeah, I mean, they could always cover for it through backstage interview tapings, promos, and whatnot to actually add to the TV product once they do air those out. But the fact that they didn't touch on anything of that during the night after TV tapings is a little concerning. Especially if they're thinking of like putting O'Reilly possibly in that spot to fight Lethal since, Cole ate the pin, which means he's probably not gonna be anywhere near it for a while.
Yeah, I guess they ran some sort of angle with I don't know what exactly was said, but it seems like now there's a split between Cole and Matt Taven. So I guess the kingdom is dead as we know it.
I think the kingdom's been dead ever since Bennett and Maria left officially, and Taven got injured, so it's like, well, that's said and done.
Yeah, but I mean, at least Cole was giving lip service to it, at least. But
That's fine.
just to touch a little bit on the TV tapings, though, because there are some New Japan specific spoilers here. Ishii retains again against Cedric Alexander. Now, this one was kind of funny, just because it was supposed to be BJ Whitmer, but prior to the match, Veda Scott and Cedric Alexander come out. Veda Scott pays off Whitmer to go
Yay.
take a walk, so it becomes Ishii and Alexander.
Veda Scott is bae. I'm sorry, but not sorry at all. That woman is pretty. I like her.
Okay, she has a I mean, her character half amuses me, half irritates me. Depending, it's like the Young Bucks, depending on the day.
I almost feel like that's part of the point too. So it's like, all
Right.
right, cool. We'll run with it.
Although I did see her elsewhere in a match against my new favorite women's wrestler, Solo Darling. That Well, let's put it this way. It was in Combat Zone's women's promotion. So fill in the blanks there,
Well, that's
how
fair.
that probably went.
I mean, they try. I'll give them that much. Because I have a friend of mine actually that, or at least an acquaintance that I've seen at conventions over in the East Coast that actually has been training in their dojo over there, basically, and has started wrestling over the past year, so.
At Combat Zone?
Yeah.
Are you liberty to say who it is, or?
No, it's a female. Her name is Brittany Blake.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, no, I just thought it was interesting since that kind of link was mentioned. Either way.
Right. Moving on, Elgin and Tana defeat the Young Bucks, which, hey, I guess the Young Bucks aren't completely bulletproof.
I mean, it's Big Mike doing the work in Tata, high fly flow opportunities when they arise, which it still impresses me that Tana's working with a really bad shoulder right now. Like,
Yeah, I think that's
what?
why Tana's at limited. But you notice that Tana actually got some of the biggest responses I heard. I mean, all the New Japan guys got big responses, I thought. But I thought Tanahashi's was bigger than it ever was before.
To me specifically, I think a lot of it is that, yes, Tana has been booked as their top guy for years, but he works hard and people see that. And from a wrestling perspective, people can appreciate that, especially people that are, not specifically like in Japan and that only get to see him every once in a while when he comes to America doing these things. Like, I feel at least ROH fans are very appreciative of that fact and they show as much.
Right. And plus, he doesn't have Nakamura, who was probably the most over of the New Japan guys. But
Pretty.
since he's. Yeah, and think about that for a second. What we were. We got Castle and Goto. We were supposed to have Castle and Nakamura. Think about how
Oh
robbed we
gosh,
were.
I
Think
agree.
about how robbed we were.
That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
So yeah, all that being said, yeah, that Tana, and from what I read from the spoilers, Tana was back to being heel Tana a little bit, even giving the finger and a suck it to the Bucks.
I feel it's just turnabout's fair play kind of thing too, but Tana does play a prick very nicely when he needs to be.
Well, when the situation calls for it, he does. He
Yep.
really does. It's quite amazing. Jay Lethal retains the ROH title against Hirooki Goto.
Who didn't see that
So,
coming?
yeah, right. So there's, we talked about the post-match injury angle. Okada and Gato fell to Red Dragon.
Cole
Which,
defeated Kushida as
Gato.
well, which was big, so.
Yeah, that's pretty big too. Kushida never gets any love on these shows. I mean, it's like every time he comes to Ring of Honor, he loses.
Yeah, it's a little unfortunate because Kushida's been great over the past year.
And yeah, and I guess Ring of Honor had to get somewhat of a rub here. So, and the Kenny Omega beat ACH, which again, who saw that coming? AC, when are they gonna pull the trigger on ACH? He is way too talented to not be having some sort of success.
I don't know, man. Sometimes Ring of Honor booking kind of astounds me in a way. I'm
Well,
still.
yeah, as we've discussed at length on this show, yes.
Personally, I'm still on the fact that while I like Lethal as champion, I would love to see Adam Cole hold it again personally, some way, somehow, because I feel that guy's money in everything he does.
Yeah, well, yeah, I do kind of appreciate Lethal's run, even if it hasn't been exactly the greatest. But I mean, he in ring, Lethal works.
Yes, absolutely. It's just I don't think he's gotten the best slew of opponents either in
No,
stories, especially, so it's.
that much is true. I'll grant that. That much is true. But I mean, let's face it, the story of when he was TV champion antagonizing Jay Briscoe.
No, I agree. It's one of the better stories that they've told in years, and ever since that portion, it's just they haven't come up with anything close to equaling that to kind of, I feel, make us care just as much, if not more, than what we did during that particular time.
Yeah, I think actually, I'll take it one step further. I think the point where maybe he started a decline is when he actually lost the TV title, because during that, it was a lot more compelling when he held both titles and was having to defend both of them,
No,
sometimes in the same night.
that's agreeable with, definitely. But technically, in regards to that, I mean, we had Roppongi Vice kind of had a failing effort against War Machine as well, too.
Yeah, and they weren't even announced. I mean, they didn't sh they weren't part of the pay-per-view either. So that was a nice little surprise to see Romero and Beretta again.
Yep, show up
Well,
and then.
hopefully returning to New Japan here shortly.
Definitely. And then, obviously, we covered Omega beating ACH, and then obviously, the big thing for the final match in those tapings was Dalton Castle finally beating Silas Young in a fight without honor, which hopefully it's the end of that entire angle. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully. But overall, I think we could say yeah, Ring of Honor booking was whack. And I don't like it. And I don't like it
It
right
was
now because
very, very weird, but that's Ring of Honor booking, and that's an entirely different subject altogether, and we'll let the more experts out there in the interwebs cover it. Main thing, though, that we've had come up over the past, couple of weeks here, it's been big for New Japan, are a couple of key departures. And Jeff, I
Yes.
know you've been waiting to talk about this one for a while too.
A little bit. Now, the good news, we definitely had good news, bad news last weekend because we had on the one hand, Michael Elgin, it was confirmed Michael Elgin signs a 2-year deal with New Japan, so he's now officially a New Japan wrestler. Although I guess his contract doesn't really kick in until April the 1st. Because he was apologizing because he had to miss a couple of bookings that were already made, including one in AIW in Cleveland, which I'm all about that promotion right now because of an upcoming match with Pentagon. But I guess sometime during this coming round of shows. There's a 44th anniversary event that Elgin's obliged to be at. So, but his contract officially starts on April the 1st, according to tweets from Michael Elgin himself. But on the heels of that, we had two resignations within 24 hours from New Japan. The first one being Kota Ibushi. Has been cleared to wrestle, but he is resigning his dual contract with both DDT and New Japan, though he is going to be returning to the ring on March the 21st at DDT's big show at Sumo Hall.
Yeah,
In a
it's
three-way tag team anywhere fall weapon hunt treasure match. Yeah, that's gonna with one of the teams, the opposite teams being Sanshiro Takagi and Jun Kasai. So yeah, I can really see how that's gonna hurt help his injuries. We're in a match against Jun Kasai. That's a reason when you look at Jun Kasai why he's covered in scars, missing teeth, and half the photos you see of him are covered in blood.
Just
So, but he's but yeah, he decided to quit his contract as in both DDT and New Japan, which he claims he's also starting something called the Ibushi Wrestling Research Institute, which it doesn't is that a promotion? Which is the last thing Japan needs is another vanity promotion. But again, it bears repeating. Becoming a free agent does not mean no longer working New Japan ever again.
No, not at all. And to me, a lot of this felt calculated because, yes, I think in a way, Ibushi realized that, hey, the work that he's been doing for both promotions in full and the way his style is. To where maybe there was a little bit of pressure on coming back and trying to live up to somewhat of the same standards that you had before. And I feel that's part of the decision. The other part of it is this particular cruiserweight series that got announced in a certain company that's going to be happening in July.
Yeah, I did hear about that.
And I feel specifically that with Nakamura, Devitt, and a couple of people that are out there right now that they're going to push to try to get Ibushi in. And if he does, great exposure for him. He can go do that and then come back after that's done in August and just sign with New Japan altogether or just keep doing freelance work. So.
Yeah, but again, it's a long way till Wrestle Kingdom 11. But I mean, I think we all kind of deep down
We know what we're
thought
hoping
that we were going
for.
to be seeing Ibushi against Kenny Omega, especially since they already sowed the seeds for that on Omega's part.
I would love to see it personally, and I think there's still a chance, because we're still a long way away from Wrestle Kingdom 11 or Wrestle Kingdom 12, where I would love to see the two of them main event it, but we'll let it play out and see what happens. But that's one of the resignations. The other one was just as interesting, if anything.
Yeah, Kaname Tezuka, the president of New Japan, within 24 hours resigned his position. I guess so, depending on who you read, some people were calling it a retirement versus a resignation. And they were saying that it was, retirement due to mission accomplished. They say that, he was meant to do, he did what he was supposed to do in the recovery of New Japan, which was enhance the management system and the business strategy for the company. And he's given his blessing to the new sitting president, Katsuhiko Harada. Honestly, I smell fish here. I gotta be honest, because I don't I think it was way too coincidental that he decided to leave right on the heels of Ibushi Shock resigning. And with the such high profile departures in the last few months, Nakamura, AJ Styles, and Guns and Gallows, I really think that this we're not being told everything, to be quite frank.
Probably not.
Excuse me. It just seems like it's way too coincidental that, oh, right after these guys leave, oh yeah, well, I think I think I've pulled everything off here. Yeah, nah. He I don't think he was. I'm not gonna say he wasn't jumped. He was pushed, but close enough. I think he was told to take a hike, and just to save face, they said that there was, this retirement, and he did what he had to do, and he doesn't feel he can do anything further, and all that. So it just but again, the loss of Ibushi as a full-time member, again, that's another smack in the face. I mean, it's great that they've managed to retain the services of Rocky Romero and Fale, and now Elgin's come on as a member. Tama Tonga, last we heard, was supposed to be a free agent, but now he's challenging for the IWGP tag titles against an unknown new member of Bullet Club, which there's speculation about who that might be. I don't know. I don't know what you've heard about it.
Nah, just about as much as you have, so it's.
Well, I've heard two possibilities. One is I guess Tonga's brother, another son of King Haku, may have a may be coming in. He's also in the business. The other possibility is Will Ospreay,
Yeah, that's
because
feasible.
he's supposed to be coming in too. And I haven't really heard any much chatter about that, but it just one guy does not stretch out the roster that badly. Five leaving?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is influencing them too to now officially go, okay, we need to sign these guys to multi-year deals because otherwise,
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're talking a 5-year deal for Okada. I don't know if that's officially been signed yet,
but if it is, we'll
but that's
probably
what.
hear about it fairly soon, and I'm pretty sure Okada is more than happy to do it because, yeah.
Yeah, he's been pretty. He's been pretty adamant in media about what he wants to do with New Japan. Okada has. I mean, even in Rolling Stone,
Just
he
that.
was flat out saying.
He's just like what I was saying. I want to make this place bigger than what it is right now. Which,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean, that sounds like.
He could do it. He could do it. Yeah, he's definitely on the fundamentalist end of things regarding New Japan. I wonder how much of that was just getting burned by TNA.
A lot of it.
Those,
A
yeah.
good amount of it, definitely. Again, TNA ruins everything. Most
Yeah, well,
things.
so most things.
The less
Yeah,
said about them, the
sometimes.
better.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so moving on. Did you ever actually watch the match that ended their relationship?
Yes.
You did that Naito against Jeff Hardy?
Yep. Yep,
Oh
I
my
remember
lord.
it. It was just
Pretty bad.
yeah, let's not even go
Pretty
there.
bad. It's great we can look at it. Sorry to sidetrack, but you because it's great we can look at a promotion and see where it all went wrong for like the millionth time. Because you can also see the because I can also tell you the match where it all went wrong between TNA and Keiji Muto
Oh,
for in
God.
Wrestle One. That James Storm and making Seiya Sanada a Muto ripoff.
Yep.
I will say this. I am glad that Seiya Sanada is actually getting a second chance in both Big Japan, and it looks like since he's been working Wrestle One shows again, it looks like that I guess
Yeah.
Muto's kind of forgiven Sanada for
Yep.
his part in all that.
Which is good, 'cause yeah, the kid deserves a shot. He's
He
good.
is. He really is. But anyway, moving on. Long term, are New Japan in trouble?
I wouldn't say so. I think a lot of the foundations that they had are still there. It's just a lot of shock with the contract situation, which they're hopefully rectifying moving forward. And again, this just keeps that continuous idea that they've got to push the guys that they have there now and make stars out of them and continue to work with, the young guns that they have there, trying to get them prepared to take that next step so that way other people can move up and kind of keep that flow going. Because they still have a couple of good things for them. They do have New Japan World, which is the fantastic way of getting exposure out there,
Well, it
even.
is, but they're not making any money out of it. I mean, it seems like
Yeah.
I've heard they only have like 30,000 subscriptions worldwide.
Oh, wow. That is
But
unex.
I've also heard that they don't care. I think they are really taking this as an exposure type thing.
Fair. And I think a lot of the deal that they have with the company now, Arise, I believe is what it was. Like, we mentioned the name
Amuse.
before. Amuse, thank you.
Amuse, yes.
Yes. The deal that they have in place with that is definitely gonna allow them to do some cool things with their roster. And again, exposure is a big thing altogether, and hopefully keep some momentum going, hopefully make things better, and see what happens from there. It's too early to tell if they're in trouble or not with this.
Yeah, but I mean, the signs and portents, you could say, are not good though, because excuse me, pardon me, I don't know where that came from. The signs and portents are not looking good. I mean, and you could, and you know, I'm not saying that there's a we should be on a New Japan doom watch by any stretch of the imagination, but there's definitely a dark cloud hanging over things right now. But I mean, I guess we'll see how things go. I mean, again, we have 11 months until, well, actually probably closer to 10 months now until Wrestle Kingdom 11. So that's really how we're gonna judge things in the very end.
And
Actually,
she.
I'd say there's a couple of signposts how G1 goes,
Yeah.
and then the build up to Wrestle Kingdom. Is going to be the real signpost, but in some good news, there are signs of a bright future though for New Japan, and we got to see quite a bit of that at the Lionsgate event this past Thursday. Which did you watch that?
I didn't get a chance to watch it as of yet. I actually have a queue to do that a little bit later on today.
Okay, I mean there's no. Well, I mean, I'll say this. There's some signs of life here. The show started out with kind of a quote unquote dark match. They had an exhibition match. It was an amateur exhibition match between Tomoyuki Oka and the guy who got banned for roids, Katsuya Kitamiya. And they went a time limit draw. Who knows how worked it actually was, but I mean they went amateur style. I mean they were wearing their amateur gear and all that for 3 minutes whilst Yuji Nagata stood there and oversaw it. And then the show started with Takumi Honjo. The that kid is pretty big. It's got to be said, Takumi Honjo. I mean, yeah, you could see why he was debuted as a heavyweight.
Yeah, definitely. Just like.
And of course, he gets his debut against Maybach Taniguchi, so he was getting stiffed right out the gate.
Whoops.
Poor kid.
Oh, well.
Hiroi Kawato. Now, Kanemitsu couldn't make this show. He was supposed to be in a tag match with Kawato, but that got changed because Kanemitsu came down with he was suffering from the flu.
Oof. Yeah,
So,
it's not fun.
yeah, so yeah, probably not really in wrestling shape. So Hitoshi Kumano of Noah beat Hiroi Kawato. Of course, this show basically was, as we've said, a low end New Japan versus Noah show in practice. Ryusuke Taguchi had to step in, and he beat Kaito Kiyomiya, which, just to go back to a previous point, yeah, once again, yeah, he did a little bit of his flying hip attacks, but he did a lot more than that.
Definitely.
Taguchi did. So he was so, you know, again, some positive signs that Taguchi may be getting his act together a little bit here. You know, now that, although he is still doing a lot of the Nakamura shtick, because I guess somebody has to.
Yep.
You know, well, I wonder if they'll consider bringing Taguchi up into the heavyweight ranks. Nah, maybe not. Let's not get too
Not
carried
not as not as not not yet. Nowhere near yet.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe let's not get too carried away, right?
Yep.
Taiji Ishimori beat David Finlay. Yoshinori Ogawa beat Jay White. That was a good match. I know Steve's not here. He's a big fan of Yoshinori Ogawa. That was actually probably my favorite match of the night. Except for Nakajima against Juice Robinson. That was a good match.
I'll be on the lookout for both of them in this case.
Yeah.
And it's interesting with Nakajima, especially for anybody who keeps up with Noah, because he just beat Minoru just
Suzuki.
a
Yeah,
couple
he
of
beat
days ago.
Suzuki the day before.
It's crazy to think that after like so long of Suzuki kind of going untouched, that you get obviously Marufuji finally getting one over him, and then Nakajima suddenly is just like, wait, he beat him? What? Huh?
Yeah, that's yeah. I will be on the lookout for that match. I haven't seen that Nakajima against Suzuki, but
It was good. It was really good.
well,
I'm
yeah,
surprised
well,
by it.
Nakajima against Juice Robinson, believe it or not, I that was the best effort I've seen from Juice Robinson yet.
I've liked Juice ever since his NXT work, to be honest. I felt he was a really good hand there. He was just wasn't getting the right push for it. So it's good to see him actually having good matches in New Japan ever since coming into it. So good on him. Good on that.
Right.
I'll be on the lookout for that one to watch it later
Tenkoji
today.
against Jado and Genba Hiranyagi, excuse me. That was what it was. Which, had a lot of Jado being Jado
I'm still just.
while wearing a Captain Noah
Yeah,
costume.
no,
Yes.
again, I'm just like, Captain Noah, what even?
Well, we know what the joke is,
No,
but
yes, we are
yeah.
very well aware of what the joke is. At the same time, it doesn't make it any less funny.
Or any more fun. Or any
Yeah,
more fun.
more or less, it's early in the morning.
What are you talking about? It's 1:20 p.m. where I am. What are you
It's
talking about?
still 11 a.m. here, which means it's still early.
Oh, boy. I woke up to see my beloved Arsenal get jobbed out, so I don't want to hear it from you
Fair enough. Fair enough.
today. Lionsgate, I mean, it wasn't quite the Young Guns showcase that I think we were told it was, and it probably paled a little bit considering the All Japan and Big Japan joint shows that have been going on, D-Rise and Phoenix. Have you seen any of those?
No, haven't gotten a chance to yet. A lot of those, like for me specifically, because I was gone the past 2 weeks, I have still a fair amount of
Right.
catching up to do, so it's gradually
Yeah,
going to get there.
I mean, those weren't the most fantastic shows either, although there were some fantastic matches on those shows too. So yeah, I'd say Lionsgate was more of a steady than spectacular debut. But I think it shows that they are making progress with the Dojo Kids at the same time. And we'll get a chance to get another look at that. They announced Lionsgate Project 2 will be on May the 19th, also from Tokyo Shinjuku Face.
Yeah, I
So
mean,
we'll be on the lookout for that. Yeah, it makes me wonder if they are gonna. I do wonder if they are gonna maybe push through Kitamura and Oka.
it.
You know, quicker than the normal length.
Just in regards of everything, considering it, and at the very least, the good thing with these shows is that it does give them that showcase, even if it isn't the full-on Young Lions thing that we were expecting it to be. Doing stuff like this at the very least and getting them some more exposure in the process too. It's steady, as you mentioned. It may not be revolutionary, but steady is always good.
And that's true too. I agree with that. So I mean, it was what it was. It was what it was. It's worth a watch, I think. It is worth a watch. So, all right, moving on. We have the New Japan Cup starting. Oh wait, it's actually this week, on Friday.
Yay. Ooh.
Is that Friday? Wait, is that Friday? Oh, good.
Hold on,
No,
sorry.
it's Thursday. I'm sorry. It starts Thursday. The first round is Thursday. And then there's a show Friday. So yeah, first and second rounds are Thursday and Friday. First round coming from the Tokyo Ota War Gymnasium. Second round coming from Korakuen Hall. I'm gonna check. They hadn't updated the broadcast schedule for New Japan World last I looked. But so yeah, these shows are coming up. It's a you know, there are 8 first round matches, so 16 wrestlers in total. Now, for those of you not familiar, the New Japan Cup is a yearly competition. It's a single elimination tournament, so it's not a round robin like G1 Climax. So you win or you go home, as they say. And the winner of the New Japan Cup gets to challenge for one of the 3 heavyweight singles titles, although one of them is an open weight title. So the belts that you can challenge for are going to be the IWGP Heavyweight, the IWGP Intercontinental, and or the Never Open Weight. Last year, so winner was Kota Ibushi. He challenged AJ Styles in a fantastic match at Invasion Attack that he came up on the wrong end of, but it was still a great match. The year before that, Shinsuke Nakamura won the New Japan Cup and challenged for a rematch against Hiroshi Tanahashi for the Intercontinental title. So that's kind of what's at stake. I just brought up the schedule. It does look like both the Thursday and Friday shows will be on New Japan World.
Yay, I'm looking
So
forward to it.
we got those. Going down the line, I'm just gonna say this straight up. Who do you pick two winners of two potential winners of the New Japan Cup, Chris?
I'm gonna say Naito, or just looking through the list here, Naito, or an outside pick, Elgin.
You know, I've seen a lot of talk about Elgin maybe getting that rub as well. And that would be fascinating. I definitely think it's going to be Naito that wins it though. Because I really can't see how it can't be, because they're starting to seed this feud between Ingobernables and Chaos, you know, which started at the Ring of Honor shows. But now we have, you know, both Naito and Evil up against Yoshihashi and Ishii respectively, I don't see how they can't be starting a program with Chaos against the Ingobernables, which is fine because I was predicting there was going to be a Chaos against Bullet Club.
Yeah.
You know, that they were going to ramp that up a little bit more. Considering both groups are in flux because, you know, all the founders of all those groups are now gone.
Yep. So there's that. And I mean, to me specifically, I think it lends itself to it in the fact that the winner of Yoshihashi and Naito is supposed to go up against the winner of Ishii and Evil. So it's a situation where I feel Naito and Ishii advance and they could keep on building from there.
I think so too. And taking further, keep in mind too that lately both Kojima and Nagata have been saying that, you know, the third generation is going to rise again.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're still trying to say that they're still in it. So the third generation being Tenzan, Kojima, Nagata, and Nakanishi.
Yep.
So they're still making noise about that. But anyway, let's go down the lineup. This will be on Thursday's show. Toriano against Yujiro Takahashi. Please be Yano.
it'll be Yano, but we'll get Shiori showing up with Takahashi, so this is fine with me. I'll at least get to see Shiori. So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, because Yujiro Takahashi is worthless. As a wrestler, I'm sorry. I do not rate him at all.
He works his gimmick. Yeah, I'm okay with that much at the very least.
Yeah, he does that. Coming up after that, Hiroshi Tenzan against Michael Elgin. I cannot see Tenzan winning that for some reason.
No, I think it'd be odd to have him just, yeah.
Yeah, now that Elgin just, you know, made this big splash. I mean, he says Tenzan, he's on the wrong side of 40 at this point.
Yep, that sounds about right. So
yeah, I think so too. Togi Makabe and Tama Tonga. I think I gotta say Makabe on that one.
Yeah, same.
Following that, Makabe's GBH partner Tomoaki Honma against Satoshi Kojima. I'll take Kojima on that match.
I'll go with Honma.
Okay. You're gonna take Honma. Why Honma?
To me, and specifically because just looking at the second round matches, the winner of that match is facing the winner of Yano and Takahashi, and doing Honma solid and having him at the very least maybe be a semi-finalist in this wouldn't be the worst idea. Especially if they were going to continue to run with him, even after the whole scandal and stuff. I mean, you might as well make use of it, so...
Yeah, well, that scandal seems to have died on the vine, unfortunately.
Pretty much. But, so, I mean, if that's the case, might as well use one of your stars and try to build them up so that when GBH loses the belts, at the very least, you've got two solid singles guys there rather than one solid singles
guy. Makabe's already got his...
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Like, Makabe's already established, but doing Honma a little favor to be established-ish... If not just established, hey.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I still think Honma's maybe hit his plateau because if anything, if he couldn't even get the never belt, which for a while that was going back and forth. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. It just seems like, you know, his big thing is he has to be able to beat Ishii, which he did do finally in G1 Climax last year. I just think, really think as a singles wrestler, perhaps, you know, like I said, I think Hanma's already plateaued. But that's just me. I could be wrong.
Yeah, fair enough.
Moving on, Yuji Nagata and Hirooki Goto. This one will be interesting because Nagata can still go.
Yep.
Goto is kind of in the midst of a net losing streak. I mean, now he's lost the ring. Now he couldn't get the Ring of Honor world title.
Yep.
So, I mean, how much further are they going to push this Goto heel turn?
Well, I'm still going to say personally, well, Nagata can still go, and it'd be interesting to see him advance. I'm going to take Goto, personally. Just the way the matchups kind of play out, because the winner of that match gets the winner of Makabe and Tonga, So it's like, if it's
Yeah.
Goto and Goto manages to beat Makabe in the second round, that makes him a semifinalist. So at the very least, there's something to build on after these last two or three matches that he's had. So mixed bag of
Yeah, no,
results.
yeah, you may be right there. You might be right. I actually think maybe Goto, it's gonna come down to Goto and Naito, maybe. Does the I mean, depending on if the seedings work out that way, which it looks like they might. I think yeah, maybe they will work out that way. So, Na Yoshihashi against Naito,
Yeah, Naito.
because I think Naito is gonna win it all,
Yep.
personally.
That's what we're going for as choice number one, so.
Yeah. Tomohiro Ishii against Evil. Ishii wins that one
Yep.
easily, unless there's, unless Bushi decides to,
Try his luck and be Oshi.
missed out Ishii. Yeah. So yeah, I think Ishii will win that one. So which means Ishii would advance to Naito, at
Yep.
which point I think Naito falls. So not I mean Ishii falls, excuse me,
Yeah.
because I think Naito's winning it all. So.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, Hiroshi Tanahashi against Fale. Well, we said that Tanahashi can recover from two major losses. I don't know if he recover from
Yeah,
three.
no, I think Tana pulls it off.
Yeah,
Like Fale looks good as always against him, but Tana wins.
so does that set up Tana against Elgin?
Yes. And
Ooh.
I like the concept, because at the very least, if Tana still wins it, Elgin still gets a good rub out of it by matching up against his tag partner. And if Elgin somehow wins it against Tana, that's credibility right there to like, oh wow, this guy could actually win the entire thing.
I'll agree with that. Yeah, but but do they also perhaps reward Fale too for sticking around?
Possible. And if they do decide to go Fale in this case, at least it gives Elgin a motivation to beat him up because you beat his tag partner. So
Yeah.
it's interesting. It could be the most
I you know
interesting
I
match in
gotta
the
say
first round.
I'm gonna take Fale. I think I'm gonna take Fale on that one.
I'll keep myself with Tana just so that way we have an opposing thing. We can come back to this next time and see who actually got it right.
Right. But yeah, and then the semifinalists, yeah. I think at this point I'm going to say Naito wins it all.
Same.
I think that's what they've been building to. And that way we get a little war between Ingobernables and Chaos. Now does Naito, if Naito wins it, does he beat Okada?
That is indeed the question. I would have to wait until after this tournament is over and the booking of it to kind of really tell you that. As to whoever the winner is, if they are the ones who beat Okada. So we'll
Yeah,
see what
well,
happens.
because once again, I've already said I'm making my Wrestle Kingdom 11 main event is Okada and Naito, with Naito being the champ, so Okada has to win it back at Wrestle Kingdom.
Which in this case,
That's just
if
kind of the way
that's the
I see
situ
it.
so if that's the situation in this case, it would make it so that it's Okada winning G1 again, more than likely,
Yes.
for the shot.
Yes, and
Interesting.
exactly.
Hey, I mean,
Yeah, but
we'll see how it plays
again,
out.
it's easy to say this from February, but
Yeah, no, we still have to wait a little while there, see how it goes.
but yeah, that's kind of, yeah, that, like I said, this is kind of how I see it, but yeah, I'm thinking Naito wins it all this time around.
Agreed. And as far as I can tell, I mean, the New Japan Cup, we'll get to see more of that in the next show we have. We'll probably end up talking about it all in closer detail. But as of now, I think we've covered everything we needed to cover, weirdly enough. And that was a
Well,
good chunk.
no, actually,
Do we have more?
there was a
Sweet.
lot, and I think it went. I think it went a little. Yeah, we definitely went through. I think because maybe it was just because it was just the two of us. Although we do miss Steve's analysis.
And yes, we will make
There
up for
was
that beginning of it
one or
soon.
two things I did. Yeah, there were one or two more things I did want to mention. Mostly in Mexico, because Raijin and Fujin, Sho Tanaka and Yohei Komatsu, are they seem to be doing quite well there. They won their debut Friday night Arena Mexico show.
Oh wow!
On Friday, I don't know if you knew that.
I did see it from the news bulletin. One that it was what an 8-man match that they were in, 6-man for their.
No, they were in a trios match.
Okay,
they teamed with Scandalo against Blue Panther Jr., the Panther, who you may recall from Fantastica Mania.
Yeah.
And Triton, and they even featured Komatsu actually doing a rope walk spot.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Okay.
He did a rope walk. And go ahead.
No, now I remember the 8-man one is the Atomicos match that they have coming up, where they're doing the teaming with Okamura and Kamatachi against Dragon Lee, Masuka,
yes,
Kata,
and El Manai. Yeah, at El Manai. Dos Leyendas, that's on March the 18th, which unfortunately I'm going to miss that because I'll be out of town. So I'm probably going to miss that match, unfortunately.
Unfortunate.
But, they were part of the press conference for Dos Leyendas. So that's, shows how much, CMLL is putting behind them. Especially putting him in one of the feature matches against, Mystico too is still not getting much love, although I guess he got cheered as a technico, this past Friday. So that's good. Cause I thought he got a better response at Fantastica Mania than he ever did at Arena Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But, did you see the other big announcement, coming Friday?
Trying to think off the top of my head here. Sorry, is it the?
If you didn't book your time next Friday night, round 9 of Kama Itachi against Dragon Lee.
Oh, okay, yeah, because they wasn't there a match before that led towards that particular match getting booked, or something like that.
Yeah, there was a trio. Yeah, there was a trios match on Friday.
Okay,
and yeah, Dragon Lee. Finally, yeah, after Dragon Lee beating Kama Itachi in trios, the last two or three Fridays in a row, Dragon Lee finally challenged Kama Itachi for a rematch for the CMLL World Lightweight title.
All right, that's what it was. Okay, makes sense now.
So get ready next Friday. Yeah, this coming Friday, yeah, another round 9 of Kama Itachi and Dragon Lee.
I mean, those matches have been good.
Every single one of those matches have been great. I mean, they've been Okada Tanahashi level great, in my opinion.
No, that's a fair enough assumption to make, definitely. They've been upping the ante considerably over the past few matches, too, so it's will be really nice to see what they do this time.
Yeah, but it's not. I just really hope that, even though we're only weeks into Komatsu and Tanaka doing their excursion in Mexico, I mean, they're already, being part of the press conference for Dos Leyendas. It's one of it's one of CML's major shows of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it just shows, that's the kind of faith that they're putting into it. Maybe it's a good indicator of the New Japan Dojo.
Mm-hmm.
And how they're training these guys. So maybe, again, despite the issues they keep having with stars leaving, maybe the future is in good hands.
Yeah.
Because eventually, Raijin, Fujin, and Kami Itachi are all going to come back eventually, we think.
Yeah, at some point. At some point, it's going to happen.
Yeah. And, the promise that's shown at the Lions, with the Young Lions at the Lionsgate shows continues. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me again. Sorry about that. But especially Finlay and White. I mean, they're Jim, but they're dojo product.
Mm-hmm.
That's their training. So, it's looking bleak. I still think, on one level, it's looking bleak for New Japan. On the other, it's, I still think that the future is looking pretty okay. Let's hope that Okada gets to, meet his goal and make New Japan bigger than it is even now. I think that right now, I think they definitely would need it.
Yeah, no, I agree entirely.
But they also need to. But they also need to, quit booking, these shows so whack
Booking
because
is
they're whack.
always booking is always an interesting concept, and we always like to see it be consistent, personally, but you get points like this with these joint shows at times where you're almost trying to intersect the two different bookings from two different companies and trying to get them to blend together. Sometimes it can work, sometimes it doesn't.
It doesn't, but we'll. I'm just again. I just think that the booking of everything since Honor Rising really just casts a pall on things. But again, things are what they are. So I think I'm done here with what I had to say.
I'd say we're pretty set.
Do you have anything else, Chris? I think
No,
we're pretty
I
set.
think we covered it all together at this point in time. It's just a matter of waiting for the New Japan Cup to wrap up and then getting Steve in here, and we'll get to talking all about that.
The next show, the next taping, I want to set it for March the 13th because I will, because we'll be doing it kind of 3 weeks out at a time, but I am unavailable on the 20th. I'll be in Chicago for the C2E2 show.
Yeah, no, and that's completely fair. I think the 13th works because it'll be basically the day right after New Japan Cup is done too. So
Well, that's sure. Yeah, we can rap about that. So.
pretty much so,
And
yeah.
hopefully we won't have so much piled in that we feel like we had to rush through everything.
Yeah,
Maybe give a little bit more considered analysis to what happens at the New Japan Cup. So, okay, well, we're gonna set it then. Next recording will be March the 13th for episode 6. Hopefully, Steve Cash will be able to join us this time. But I hope we had a great time at Vegas. From the pictures I saw on his Twitter feed, it looked like he was having a blast. So. All right, Chris, anything else?
nope, that covers it for me. We'll hopefully see Steve here pretty soon to talk about all of this. And again, guys, thanks for listening in. We'd really do appreciate it.
No problem. And so for myself and for Chris DiMassimo, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you again around March the 13th. So take care and enjoy the New Japan Cup.